through life, we have lots of transitions. And with those transitions come major changes. Some of you, like I did, grew up in a large family and you were close with all your brothers and sisters and you shared lots of laughs and you may have shared a room and you shared all these family memories. And then you grow up and you go through that transition of going off to college or getting a job in a different state or city, and you still are you know, related and somewhat communicate, but that connection and all of those shared moments just are not the same anymore. It's just different. I just received a Facebook about my high school class reunion, and I look back and I think of all of the friends and the connections that I had during high school, especially my junior and senior year, a group of us drummers and guys who hung out together, and we meet on Friday nights and play Johnny Cash together and be silly and just have lots of fun. And, you know, you just go off to college and you wander from those folks, and they were close friends in your life every day, and now you see an occasional mark or you hit a like on Facebook. It's just not the same. Actually, even in the churches where Julie and I have served, and the Lord called us, and man, we poured our heart and our lives into the people of those churches, and yet the Lord calls you elsewhere and you go forward, and a lot of those deep connections of folks that you talk to at least every week and usually several times a week, and guys that I hung out with, you know, again, we see each other on Facebook and I could call them in a heartbeat or they could call me and I'd be there for them, but that connection just isn't the same anymore. We go through life transitions. But there are two connections that we have to remain close to through the times of life. And that is our connection with the Lord and with His body, the church. No matter where we live, no matter what's going on, those are two connections in our life that need to remain. Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're thinking about the time is now. The time is now. The time is now for us to stay connected. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll pick up in verse number 19. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day. And notice that day is capitalized. It is a specific day, as you see the day approaching. And with that, let's pray. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that You would challenge each and every one of us to check that connection in our life, to see if we're truly connected to Christ and if we're connected to that body, the church. May You be honored and glorified, and may we respond in obedience to Your Spirit today, to the glory of God, in Your name. Amen. The writer of Hebrews challenges the believers who were going through a difficult time of persecution and ridicule to remember that the day is approaching. The day that he has in reference there is the day of the second coming of Christ, where in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus comes in on a white horse and many crowns are on his head and his eyes are like fire and he has a name written on him that is faithful and true and a name inscribed on his thigh which says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says the day of the second coming is approaching. Now, we live, and what we have talked about over the last few weeks is how do we live in the last times? Thus, we get our theme, the time is now. The last times are those days between the first coming and second coming of Jesus. Specifically, between the ascension, where Jesus went back to heaven after telling his disciples that he was going to come again, and that time when he actually does come again. And over the last few weeks, we have looked and thought about what we're hearing from the pictures of people in Scripture about living in the last times. Jesus, remember in Matthew chapter 24, said, "Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not know." Paul in 2 Timothy 3 says, "Look, in these last days, perilous times are going to come, but I want you to keep the faith." Jude, last week, as we looked in the book of Jude, and he reminded us and challenged us that we are his beloved, that we are to stay grounded in love and stay grounded in his promises. Now, the writer of Hebrews is speaking, and he points out two main connections that must remain during these last times in which we live. That connection to the Lord and that connection to a body, the body of Christ. If you look down in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 and 34, you find what's going on in that day. It is a difficult time for believers because of the trials that are coming. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 4 says that they have not resisted yet unto bloodshed, but they are facing intense pressure as they're trying to live for Christ in this day. See, he is writing to believers and saying, look, it is going to be difficult. It is going to be challenging. Make sure your relationship with Christ is right and make sure that you have a connection with other believers to experience the encouragement and camaraderie and hope together. But he also writes in this book to unbelievers. He's writing again to a mainly Jewish audience. That's why it's called Hebrews. But as he writes to believers who have stepped out of Judaism to follow Christ, he says, look, the pressure is going to be great. And then he writes to unbelieving Jews as well. And he points them consistently to the Old Testament and then shows us how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament sacrificial system. The picture is that message is for all of us today as well. If you do not know if you die today, you'd go to heaven. You don't know if your sins are forgiven and you don't know you have eternal life. Can I tell you, there is a message that the writer of Hebrews has for you today. And if you are a believer and you're living in this day and you're watching what's going on around you, the Bible has a message in this passage for you today as well. And so with that, I want us to jump on three main thoughts today as we think about the time being now to stay connected. Notice back up with me in verse number 19. First off, we need to get connected to Jesus Christ. If you don't know for certain that you're connected and have a relationship with Jesus, the writer of Hebrews draws home some Old Testament symbolism and Old Testament pictures to show these believers who had come out of a sacrificial system, who had their roots in the Old Testament. He shows them how Jesus is truly the way. Notice in verse number 19, he says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest," notice what he says, "by the blood of Jesus." Back up in verse number 4 of Hebrews chapter 10, he's already told them that it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to forgive sin. That they had gone through a sacrificial system and they had gone through that exercise, and through that time God had used that as a covering, but it ultimately would not bring that sense of forgiveness and that picture of absolute cleanliness before the Lord. Here he pictures the blood of Jesus. When we get connected to Jesus, it is only Jesus who provides forgiveness of sin, that his blood was shed on the cross. And that's what he's talking about. The blood of Jesus, how Jesus died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for us. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. And he says, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin." So that in the Old Testament, they constantly had to go back and make a sacrifice. And they constantly had to go back and make a sacrifice, because the sacrifices were pictures of the coming one who would be absolutely sufficient, but their sacrifice was not sufficient. They had to keep going back and making them. So now he's picturing the person of Jesus. He's saying, look, this is what it was in the Old Testament, but now pick up with me in verse number 12. "But this man," he's talking about Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Here, he pictures Jesus both as the high priest and as the sacrifice. Here, he pictures Jesus as the one who offered and brought the sacrifice. Priests would never sit down when they were on duty because their work was never done. So he says, look, the priest, after he offered this one sacrifice, sat down. Why did he sit down? Because Jesus, when he offered himself as the sacrifice for sins, he offered a perfect sacrifice, as Peter would say, without blemish and without spot, and that would redeem us to God finally and forever. Jesus would be the only one who would provide full forgiveness of sins. So that when we sing, "My sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross," that's the assurance that we have in what Jesus has done for us. Jesus provides forgiveness. But then only Jesus really provides access to God. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." But here in Hebrews chapter 10, when we pick up in verse number 19, it says that because of his blood, we're able to enter into the holies, or the Holy of Holies. Here in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies would be entered one time per year by the high priest. And he would enter on the Day of Atonement, and he would come and offer atonement for the sins of the nation, the people of Israel. But you remember what happened when Jesus died on the cross? You remember what happened? The veil of the temple was ripped in two. And now we have access to God through Jesus Christ alone. Listen, we don't have to go through a saint. We don't have to go through Mary. We have absolute direct access to God through Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And praise God for it. Hey, we have forgiveness and we have access. I heard about the woman who, the husband and wife, and their son went off to college, and as a freshman in college, he got there, and, you know, life in the dorm was a little different than life at home, and he got there and realized he didn't have to go to class, and he could hang out with his buddies and have a good time, and no one was checking up on whether he studied or not, so he didn't make good grades. He lost his scholarship. He comes back home for the summer, breaking the news to his parents and telling them what had gone on. And as he did that, man, his parents were just absolutely disappointed and aghast. I mean, they were extremely, extremely hurt by this. And basically they said, look, if you're going back to school, you're going to pay for it yourself. So he had to find a full-time job in the summer, which meant that he missed family vacation. And they were going to Greece. So mom and dad ship off, and they go to Greece for family vacation, and mom writes a postcard back. "Dear son, we are sitting on the mountain where Spartan women offered their children as sacrifices. Wish you were here." Some of you have been there before. But I will tell you, when Jesus forgives, he forgives fully. And he doesn't bring it back up. Micah tells us that he buries it into the Lord buries our sin in the depths of the sea, and he remembers it no more. So that we stand before the Lord absolutely clean and forgiven and have direct access to God. If you don't know for certain that you're connected to Jesus, that you have him in your life, I want to tell you, this is a bigger than life or death decision. This is an eternal life, an eternal death decision. Get connected to Jesus Christ. But then secondly, we not only need to get connected at that point of salvation, but we need to stay connected to Jesus. Again, we have symbolism of the Old Testament that is used here in this passage, but as we think about staying connected, notice with me down in verse number 22. He says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. We're to stay connected to Jesus Christ. And first off, he tells us that we need to be people who draw near. Verse number 22. We draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, that we are people who are constantly seeking the Lord's will, seeking his face. That's why I've challenged you to read scripture, to stay in scripture. And I hope that you're plugging along as we're going through the Gospel of Mark now, and we're reading through and seeing what Jesus has done. Listen, one chapter a day, stay in God's word. Some of you are far past that. Some of you are reading through the whole Bible, and that's wonderful. But the challenge is all of us need to be drawing near to the Lord every day. So we draw near to Jesus Christ. That's our challenge here. We draw near. We stay connected by drawing near to him. Matter of fact, James would say, look, you need to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, and then draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It is as if God throws the ball into our court and says, here, you take the ball. How close to me do you want to be? However you draw near to me, I will, with that same passion, draw near to you. Can I tell you, from that passage we get the picture that God is as close to you as you want him to be. Man, if I don't want God going there, and I begin to draw back instead of drawing near, the Lord says, look, you draw near, and I'll draw near to you. As busy parents, we know what this is like. We can get so busy and run and do this, and someone asked me, how are you doing today? I said, man, I'm doing fine. Life's busy, but it's good. We're busy. And that's just the way it is. And that's the way our family is. And it's good. And I seek to make time every week so that Julie and I can have time to draw near to each other. So I've told you before, I mean, Sunday is the King's Day. This is the day I preach. This is the day I'm with people. It's a busy day today, but it's a great day. But Thursday typically is the Queen's Day, all right? So that on Thursday when the boys ship off and go to school, I normally start pushing a cart somewhere, all right, or walking through a mall somewhere. Why? Because through the busyness of life, we need to stay connected. And through the busyness of your life, you need to stay connected spiritually. That's the picture. You have to make it a priority. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And then he gives pictures, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. He gives pictures from the Old Testament symbolism of approaching God and a heart with cleanliness. And he says, and our bodies are going to be washed with pure water. That's the picture. Let us draw near. And then he says that let us, there's another verb here, another challenge, and let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So not only do we draw near, but then we hold fast. Now listen, he didn't say we have to hold on to our salvation. It says instead that we hold fast in our salvation. Remember verses 32 through 34. It's a difficult day to be a believer in that time frame. The Jewish religious folks are coming against these believers. The government is coming against the believers. And now he says, you need to hold fast. Hold fast. With that assurance, that confession of your hope. Because he who promised is faithful. God's faithful. That's what 1 Corinthians 1:9 reminds us of. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:24 reminds us of, that God is faithful. That's what Lamentations 3:23 reminds us of, that we have to hold fast. Listen, not every day is going to be butterflies and rubber balls. In sunshine, it's just not that way. There are days when it is going to rain, and you're going to forget your umbrella, and your car won't start, and there are going to be days that you're sick, and there's going to be days that money is tight, and that's just life. But that is not an excuse to walk away and to say the Lord doesn't care. Because verse 19 has already told us that we have access to God through the blood of Jesus. What more does God really need to do to show you that He loves you than send His Son to die on the cross for you? Is there anything more? So hold fast. Hold fast. Some of you today may be struggling in your faith and thinking, God, why is all of this going on? God, why are all these problems hitting at the same time? Lord, I'm facing it from the north and the south and the east and the west. God, why? What is going on? And I would tell you today, hold fast. Hold fast. A few years ago, when we lived in Georgia, Julie sent me a text that one of a pastor that we knew had passed away. He had retired, but as he had retired, he had, through the last years of his ministry and the last years of his life, grown bitter. So that instead of worshiping in church, he'd throw on some junk clothes and sit in the back seat, a back row of the church, and put in his time, and he'd walk out. And I sent a 3-word text back to her. He died bitter. I want to tell you, we have to guard our heart and hold fast to Him, lest we grow bitter. And the writer of Hebrews deals with that in the 13th chapter, where he basically says, look, if you allow that root of bitterness to grow up in your life, it is not only going to hurt you, but it's going to defile many. You need to get connected. You need to stay connected. Draw near. Hold fast. There is hope. There really is. The Lord, every 24 hours, gives us a new sunrise. And every 7 days gives us a new week. And every 30 days or so, give or take a leap year, gives us a new month. And every 365 days gives us a new year. But ultimately, for eternity, He will give us a new and eternal life where there will be no sorrow or sickness or pain, and where every tear will be wiped from our eyes. Right now is the only opportunity that you have to live, to love Jesus during the challenging times where you have to hold fast. Do you understand that? When you get to heaven, there won't be any more challenges and any more difficulties. Right now is the only opportunity for you to have your faith shine, as Hebrews 11 would say, and to move forward during the difficulties of life. You need to get connected. You need to stay connected. But the third thing is this. You need to live connected to the body of Christ, the church. Live connected to the body of Christ, the church. He tells us that we are to draw near and to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And then in verse number 24 and 25, He says that we are not to be forsaking the assembling together of ourselves, as is the manner of some. There's this picture here, that there's this gathering that's supposed to happen in the life of a believer, that they're not supposed to be a rock or an island. God never called us to do that, but we are to be connected to a body. Do not forsake the assembling together of ourselves. It is essential for our spiritual life and our spiritual well-being to be in a connected church family. When you take a hot ash out of a fireplace and you stick it onto the mantle, in just a short period of time, that that ash, which was once glowing with an orange-yellow light, becomes gray and lifeless, dusty. It gives off no heat, it gives off no light, and it has no hope. And he's saying, if we're going to draw near and hold fast in a difficult day, we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves. So that's the command in verse number 24. The command is that we, as God's people, are not to neglect our church. He says, let us hold fast that hope. But verse number 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do not neglect your church. And he says, as is the manner of some. The writer of Hebrews would know the church well. For any given Sunday, maybe a third of those who are members here will be active in our worship services. I'm not talking about those who are on vacation or go out of town for a few weeks, who are sick. I'm talking about those who could be here and they choose not to be. He says, look, don't neglect your church. Don't forsake the assembling together of ourselves. It's interesting, though. There's a call to us as believers on why we are to be in church. Notice back up with me, verse number 24 from verse 25. He says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's a call. Notice verse number 24. We're supposed to stir up love, good works, and exhortation in verse number 25. So the call for our life is to love, to serve, and to encourage. Why do you come to church? It's funny, he didn't say, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together so that you could be blessed. No, but the purpose was so that we could exhort one another because the day is approaching. And then in the previous verse, he says, man, we need to stir up love and good works. So we as a church are to be a place where we can express love and receive love, where we can serve and we can be served, and where we can encourage or exhort and be encouraged and be exhorted. Listen, for those who come and say, I'm going to come to church today and I'm going to expect good music and a good sermon and I'm going to walk away happy if they do everything the way I want it done. Listen, you're missing the point of the church. It's two ways. We're to love each other. We're to serve each other. We're to encourage each other. And I would take a guess if more of us would come with an attitude that says, I'm coming to church today because I want to love people, because I want to serve people, because I want to encourage people. Listen, you won't have to be quiet for too long to find people to love, to serve, and to encourage. In our day, we often have a worldly consumer mentality that has jumped into the church. That says, show me what you can offer. What do you have for this? What do you have for that? What is this going to look like? What is this going to sound like? I was reading an article sharing with someone this morning, and the article was this, worship in a selfie generation. So how do I worship when I have my camera always turned back on me, thinking about self? And that's part of the problem. And it doesn't make any difference if you're old or if you're young. It doesn't make any difference if you're new in the faith or you've been in the church for years and years. Listen, the attitude is we come to stir up love and good works. And we come to encourage and exhort one another. And as part of our church body and as part of our church family, we're not complete when you're not here. See, every Sunday is family reunion. It's church family reunion. Every Sunday, the body comes together. But can I tell you? We come and we're missing arms and ears and knees and elbows because people aren't here that could be bringing their gifts of love, service, and encouragement to bless others. And you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So what happens is the people who come in hurting, who need that love, service, and encouragement, they walk away dry because that person who was to come and be that one who loved and served and encouraged and to encourage wasn't there. It's a challenge for us. I mean, did we really come this morning thinking, God wants me today to stir up love and good works and to exhort one another because there's a coming? He says, as you see that day approaching, the coming here is the second coming of Jesus. Here, the command, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. The call, be loving, serve, encourage, because the day is approaching. The day's approaching. The end of verse number 25, the day, the command is this: Jesus is coming for the church. And I don't know a lot of things about prophecy. I've studied the book of Revelation, and listen, I think I know more than I did, but there are some things I thought I was 100% sure on that I don't know if I know everything that I think I know. But I do know this: His coming is nearer at this moment than it has been at any time in history. The coming of Jesus is closer right now than it has ever been. Did you hear? The coming of Jesus is closer today than it has ever been. So the question is, are you living like He's coming? Are you connected? Are you staying connected? Are you living connected to the church family? I don't know about you, but sometimes I play this goofy game that I play in my life. It's, if I get to the grocery store early enough in the morning, I don't have to shave. I can just put on a ball cap and I don't have to clean up. I did this a few years ago, and we had just gotten back from vacation. It was a Friday evening. Julie had stayed one more day on vacation with her family, and actually that Saturday morning, me and the boys were home. Julie was going to get in Saturday night. It was our anniversary. I needed to go run, get some milk and bread, make sure the boys had food for the day, and pick up some flowers. And I thought, our laundry's dirty. So I put on a pair of khaki shorts with holes in them and an old ragged T-shirt and a ball cap, and I didn't shave the day before because we were traveling, and I probably didn't shave the day before that because it was the last day of vacation anyway. I wasn't going to see anybody. And so I walk in to the grocery store, which was just around the corner, and I think, man, it has like only been open just a couple minutes, 7:05. Nobody's going to see me. And I walk in the door, and there is one of our church members. Hey, Pastor Buddy. And then I push the cart just a little bit further, and there is another. And I thought to myself on that occasion, why didn't I just spend 10 minutes and shave and at least look decent? It would have only been 10 or 15 minutes. The boys were sleeping. It was not an issue. I didn't have anything planned the rest of the day. I wonder, when Jesus comes, will we think, why didn't I spend some more time getting ready? Why didn't I spend those 10 or 15 minutes every day in the Word? Why didn't I spend those 10 or 15 minutes in prayer? Why didn't I turn the TV off for those 10 or 15 minutes when I watched something that I shouldn't have? Jesus is coming. And as the day is approaching, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we ready? Am I connected? The time is now. Are you connected today? And with that, let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would be people who would be connected to you and to a church family. And God, I pray that you would take this time of invitation to draw those who may know you as their Savior, or maybe those who do not, to follow you in the way that you've called them to today. If there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus and today they need to come to know Jesus, I pray that they would have that courage to say, I need him in my life. And for believers here today, I pray, God, that you would challenge them to be people who are connected to you and connected to the body. In your name, amen.